Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants, brought to you by Cheesehead TV, with your hosts, Corey Behnke and Aaron Nagler. Today's show, October 2nd, 2007, is about the Packers' closer-than-necessary win over the Vikings, Brett Favre's record-setting performance, as well as a look ahead to the nationally televised game against the Chicago Bears. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Packer Transplants.
Okay, we got it off. We executed it correctly. You know, no flags. This is how an efficient offense is supposed to work.
From our studios in Inwood, Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you
two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants. I'm Aaron.
And this is Corey.
And today we'll revisit the huge win against the Vikings, pay homage to Brett Favre, take a look at various aspects of the team, and of course, preview the game against the hated, and I mean hated, Chicago Bears. So let's get started. And as usual, we'll start with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
We got the good. We got Brett Favre, obviously. Yeah. Al Harris, Aaron Campman. I want to add KGB and John Ryan to that list.
Very good, very good.
The bad, we got Ryan Grant.
How can you fumble there?
Terrible.
Oh my goodness.
Goodbye.
Oh my goodness.
Charles Woodson
getting beat by like sub-level receivers. I don't like it.
Donald Lee,
how? How can you let yourself be stripped at the five?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Oh. It was a great catch. It was a
great catch. Fantastic catch.
And we got the ugly, which I don't agree with, Jared Bush.
Jared Bush, we'll get into that later. But right now, let's talk about Brett Favre.
Is there anything left to say?
There's nothing left to say. And as far as I'm concerned, he's the MVP of the league a month into the season.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone wants to say Manning and Brady.
No.
Whatever.
No. All right. And I bet everybody would vote for Brett right now, the players.
They would have to. How can you? I'm sorry. Is he throwing to all first-round picks like Mr. Manning? No. Is he throwing to a rebuilt wide receiver core that was bought and paid for in the offseason?
Although I wish that one person on it was on our team.
Okay.
Well, and should be on our team.
We'll
Ted Thompson, thanks very much
for
nothing.
Oh, hey, thanks for nothing? Thanks for 4-0?
Yeah, thanks
you're
for
no right.
Randy
you're
Moss.
Right. Randy Moss would make thanks us for more 4-0. Whatever.
Well,
anyway,
we wouldn't be more 4-0, but we'd have a much... Look,
what,
like
stats
I said
would
before,
be better?
Like
great.
I said before, right now...
What relevance does that have to anything?
No, it has a lot of relevance.
It has no relevance.
Already,
we'd still be 4-0.
No, we still would be. Okay, no, let's get to that. Ruvell Martin had 52 yards, right? 52 or 57
two
yards.
Two great
amazing catches.
Two great catches.
Really good catches. That's your fourth-string receiver. Okay, there's
Number four.
Not many teams, maybe four, that have a fourth receiver that is as good as him.
You're preaching to the choir here. Look at Cincinnati last
what
night
if
running
he was
Antonio
fifth
Chapman,
receiver.
Number three.
Okay, all I have to say...
What if he was a fifth receiver? He'd never see the field.
Donald Driver.
Right.
As the number two.
I know. And Randy Moss, number
Randy
one.
Randy Moss as the number one. No,
great.
Just take it in. Just breathe for a
second.
Oh,
because I haven't since last April.
I'm just saying.
I hear you. But we'd still be 4-0. This is what I don't get about Packer fans. It's this and Amon Green. Nothing but for like months on end. And now Amon Green is hurt.
No, Amon Green's
hurt.
Has
anyone
hurt,
noticed that Amon Green is hurt?
Well,
you know?
But maybe he would have been hurt if he were a Packer.
Oh, well, and maybe Randy Moss would be hurt if he was a Packer.
Maybe.
You can't.
I know.
If, when, why, but
I'm
this is the
saying,
team we have. Get behind it.
I'm behind the team.
4-0.
Wait, hold on.
All right.
Don't question that. I'm behind the freaking team.
Okay.
100%. I'm born. There's blood there.
Well, we are doing this podcast, so I think that's pretty apparent that you're behind the team.
Let's
I'm
not
just
go
saying.
There.
I'm just saying.
No, you're
I'm not
like
questioning
a little,
your loyalty.
You're like
I'm not
a
saying you're
Ted
un-
Thompson supporter and who can't imagine. Did
he's
you see Randy Moss last night?
No, he's got he's tied with the Colts for the longest winning streak in the NFL. Give the man his due. That's all I'm saying.
With no running game.
Who cares?
Who cares?
4-0?
Look. 4-0 doesn't mean anything when you're
4-12. Okay, so it's 4-0 means something because the Patriots have Randy Moss, but our 4-0 means nothing because we don't have a running
4-0
game.
4-0 doesn't mean 4-0 won't get you in the playoffs.
No, it won't.
It gives you an 87% chance. Yes.
Huge benefit of trying to get in the playoffs.
Your probability goes up at
4-0.
But 4-0, nobody's in the playoffs.
No, of course not. Of course, the Patriots aren't in the playoffs.
But my point is...
And this is my point. It's a long season.
It is.
What happens when they face adversity?
It's a long season.
The Patriots can only go down.
It's true.
The Packers
it's
can
true.
Only get
and,
better.
And the Patriots' defense is a house of cards because they're all old.
Old? Well, yeah, I guess their linebackers are old. But you know who's not
old?
You know who's not old? You know who's really young? Mr. Junius Costin.
Yeah, that's right. I got to give a shout out to Junius Costin.
Corey Banky, shout out.
Look, you took your helmet off. Well, your helmet came off.
What, just rolling around on the ground.
You messed some people up. Let me tell you, I don't play football. But if I did, I'm pretty scrawny. So if I did,
he is, ladies and gentlemen, he is a scrawny man.
If I did play football and my helmet came off, I would probably be like, ah! I mean, I probably wouldn't scream like a little girl, but it's a radio show, so I have to kind of show
close.
Through audio.
That's pretty close to what you would probably do. I don't know. I think
but this isn't the clean version of the show, right, but I think I'd do something else.
Well, it's like Bill Cosby said, first you say it, then you do it.
That's
no,
true.
Dude, he was ridiculous
wow,
on that
he was.
Play.
It was amazing.
It was eventually blown dead, but he ran after the man with his head, helmet, just off.
That's tough.
And he went to tackle.
You expect that from a defensive lineman, but you don't always think, oh, you know, and we've even said, Junius Costin, he's going to take over for whatever. Who is this kid? You know, blah, blah, blah.
But he's tough. Hey, shout out Junius Costin. But let's talk about Jared Bush. We mentioned him. Good, bad, and the ugly. I had him in the ugly category.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve to be in the ugly.
I do good, bad, and the ugly the day after the game.
Joey Thomas, Ahmad Carroll.
No, that's ugly.
They deserve ugly.
Yeah, it's ugly. But I think it was more a product because the last two teams, you know, the Chargers and the Vikings have been picking on him. You know, he's definitely been picked on. He's been the target. But as I said on the blog today, you know, the coaches have pointed out, and you know, correctly, I stand corrected.
Well, Sanders pointed out that one of the sacks was because of Jared Bush's coverage. Because of his, but all the cornerbacks.
He was the main target. Yeah. They were going after him, and his coverage was so good.
I've always said this, but McCarthy said it this week. We're going to listen to his audio. Look, when your number one cornerback is Al Harris, and your number two cornerback is Charles Woodson,
where do we throw the ball? Exactly.
I mean, if you're going to exploit a weakness, you're going to go to a rookie. You're going to go to him all the time. Right. If he's on the field, you're going to try to.
Let's hear what Mike had to say.
Jared's playing good football. He's, you know, he had the one play in the touchdown, and frankly, it's a hell of a play by the receiver. I thought Rice was impressive on the way he elevated and caught the football there. But it's every defense in America, the third corner is the guy you're going to be tested, and Jared is a young, improving player. He's as competitive of a football player that we have on our whole football team. You can see. And just that in special teams, how aggressive he is in the production that he has created in special teams. And I look for him to continue to grow and be productive as a corner.
He is aggressive on special teams. Yeah, I do like that about him.
He had that one hit in the first game.
Oh,
and then he
caused the fumble.
A good hit in the third
game. Brilliant. Okay, I officially give the benefit of the doubt to Mr. Jarrett Bush.
He's off the ugly list.
He is off the ugly list. He's bumped up to bad for the Vikings game.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. We haven't seen everything on this kid.
No, we haven't. We haven't. It's very true. And he is part of a 4-0 team.
Yeah.
So he's doing something right.
And we potentially could see him this week as the
starter,
number two.
Or maybe even number one if both Woodson and Harris can't go, as was intimated today in the Journal Sentinel. Yikes.
Wow.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, starting corners for the Green Bay Packers. We have
Joey Thomas.
Easy. Ahmad Carroll. No.
Oh, no.
It'll never be that bad again. What, are they going to start a fight there on the bench?
Patrick
I don't think so.
Dendy.
No more, ladies and gentlemen. No.
Wow.
I think Harris will go.
I can't believe that.
He won't
We're
practice till
Bush
Friday.
And Blackman.
And Walker in the nickel. Don't forget that.
Whoa.
No. We'll be fine. They'll be fine. Harris is a gamer. He'll be there.
He is.
I think
he's
just
got
to make it through
injury,
two more weeks to
needs,
get to the bye week.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, he needs to get to the bye week.
But like I was saying before, Jared Bush, part of a 4-0 team. A 4-0 team that, may I just say, not a whole lot of Packer fans are getting behind. They're all really excited about it.
No. Everybody's
all really excited
them.
About
I'm,
it.
Everybody's
they're all
behind
it, but
look,
they're not
look,
happy about
when you
it.
Care about the Pack.
I've never seen a 4-0 team with a fan base this unhappy.
Well, you're unhappy about what's lurking around the corner. You're unhappy.
You don't know
look,
what's lurking
look,
around the corner.
I know exactly.
You think you know.
Well,
you didn't know we were going to be 4-0.
You know, we're going to have.
You thought maybe we'd be 2-2, maybe 1-3,
we'd be 3-1,
3-1, maybe. But you never thought we'd be 4-0.
I didn't know.
So that's my point. You don't know. Enjoy it. We're 4-0. We're one of four teams in the NFL.
We're ranked 32nd in rushing.
Statistics are for losers.
No,
Vince
they're not for losers.
Lombardi.
They're not for losers.
That's all I meant. That's all I'm saying.
Look, your guys, your family, and the Green Bay Packers, but they're not for losers.
Exactly.
We're 32nd in rushing. We're not running screens. We're not running them well.
That's for sure.
We're not running them well. Ryan Grant had a screen, and Deshaun Wynn had a screen.
That's true. That's
both of them.
They were ugly. Yeah. Pretty darn ugly.
We're not really playing West Coast offense. We're not getting our.
Oh no! Wait! Whoa! That's all we're doing.
The West Coast offense.
That's all we're doing.
The West Coast offense is predicated on getting the
runners.
3 to 5 yards.
Passing to take the place of a running game.
But you're missing a key component.
Exactly what
but
we're doing.
Of all your players, you have to involve everyone. Everybody has to be involved.
Well, I think they're trying to involve them.
The West Coast offense is predicated on getting your running backs the same amount of stuff they're going to get, but it's going to be passes.
Look at Roger Craig. Roger Craig was a great back.
We don't have a Roger. But I'm just saying.
Who on our team is as good as Roger Craig?
Who made the West Coast offense? Bill Walsh?
Yeah.
Right?
And what was his philosophy?
What did he have?
Passes take place of the run.
Exactly. So you have to have short little passes.
It doesn't matter who catches them.
Well, it does, sort of.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, because you have more than one position on your team. You don't just have wide receivers and tight ends.
Wide receivers.
And running backs aren't just there to block.
No, of course not. They have caught some passes.
Mm-hmm.
Not, they haven't been great. And again.
No, and Deshaun Wynn had that spin move.
Would you
that
rather
was off
throw
of
to Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, Bubba Franks, and Donald Lee, or Deshaun Wynn, Ryan Grant.
Yeah, but it's about Vince Jackson. I mean, it's about mixing it up. I agree.
They have tried, and those plays have not been successful.
Exactly.
So do you keep going back to the non-successful plays? No, of course not.
When you're ranked 32nd in rushing,
you must produce other ways.
Yes.
I agree.
And here's the thing.
And they have.
Right now, it's working.
Right.
But when somebody I'm just saying, we're not one-dimensional, but we are in a dimension where we don't have as complex and as depth of a game. And I understand.
I agree.
As deep
agree.
Of a game, not depth.
Depth.
Sorry,
game.
I'm a
it's
moron, but whatever.
It's
as
right.
deep
we
of
know
a
what
game.
You mean.
But you've got to have that to really, really
Absolutely.
Exist
Absolutely.
Successfully
I agree.
In this league.
In the NFL. I totally agree. However, this is the team we have. We don't have a running back.
Yeah, and there's a tremendous amount of upside.
And we may not even have an offensive line that's good at the screen game. We don't even, I mean, they have not looked all world on the screen. I mean, it's not just the back.
That's true.
So, you know, as much as I,
and
it's
not just the screen game's just indicative of a larger issue.
Exactly. But the thing is like, you know, it's been such a staple in Green Bay for the last 10 years. I mean, when Holmgren was hired, Holmgren and then Lewis and then Sherman all called and ran screens very, very well.
Yeah.
This team has always, for
the
last 10 years,
West Coast offense
well.
Teams run the screen
very,
very
well. And then that comes back. Most of those teams had very good, if not good, running backs.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
True.
I mean, you're talking Edgar Bennett, yeah. Dorsey Levens.
I mean, the screen
Amon
is
Green.
The only, is one of the few safety valves you have.
Exactly.
For when they're over penetrating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Stop the pass rush.
It's such a great one because it just shuts them down. Like, even if you don't have a really good running back, all of a sudden, just took the air out of your sails because, you passed
me. And they did that in a fashion in the last touchdown drive, the one that ended up going to Jones. They had a great draw, which is another way to slow down the pass rush.
Exactly.
They had a left side draw to Deshaun Wynn that was sweet. The rush of the right end just came right up the field.
Yep.
And they said, and Brett said, see ya, gave the ball to the running back, and he went for a first down.
No, and Vernon Morency, he had 2 third-and-ones that he converted.
Yep. Yes, he did.
You know, and that's good. Hey, when you run on 3rd-and-1, you better get it done.
Absolutely.
And when you do, you got to be congratulated.
He did have that fumble out of bounds.
He did have a fumble.
Which we won't talk about. Contribute it to rust.
The offensive line doesn't even finish blocks. Like, don't even get me started. Like,
that's the thing. There's no push. I thought the whole thing, everything everybody was talking about in the offseason was how they were in the program. They were all in Green Bay working out. Like, they were going to get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came out of the gate this year, they were just going to be blowing people off the line. Well, I'm sorry, but they're not blowing anybody off the line. And I understand they played the Vikings this week, and no one blows the Vikings off the line. But they haven't blown anybody this year.
Yeah, and they
off
played
the line.
The first three teams we played all happened to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, last year.
I mean,
I agree.
Look,
they gotta shut my mouth.
I really do, because this could be the greatest Packers.
We wouldn't have much of a podcast if you shut your mouth.
No, but
Mr.
I gotta shut it down a little bit because we could be. This could be the greatest Packers team since 1996.
It could be. It's certainly looking like it right now. And I just want to address this really quickly. I know a lot of people, and like you alluded to it, 32nd in rushing. Yes, we have no running game. That is very apparent.
It's not just that though.
Let me make my point.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people are saying this. We don't have a running game. Blah 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 blah. But there was a team not 5 years ago, or almost 5 years ago, that went to the Super Bowl with no running game, true, passing it 40 times a game, true, with a 37-year-old quarterback who won the MVP that year. That was Rich Gannon and the Oakland Raiders. Yes. Now, granted, they didn't win the Super Bowl. I think they would have if they hadn't have faced their previous coach in John Gruden.
Yeah.
But my point is, I think Brett Favre...
Well, that Tampa Bay defense
was
really
ridiculous.
Good.
Was I will just really say this. Good. Brett Favre is 10 times the quarterback Rich Gannon is.
Yeah,
I love Rich Gannon.
Gannon's
I thought
got,
he had a great
Gannon
career.
Gannon had an arm.
And he had an amazing year that year. But Brett Favre
it's
is
true.
10 times.
It's true.
The quarterback he
no,
is.
Hey.
If Rich Gannon can take a team on his back to the Super Bowl, you darn well better believe that Brett Favre can do
it. Yeah, playing like this? Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's not he's not coming in on the first quarter and throwing it above everybody
like he did
10 years.
No,
he's not
It's his game.
It's his game. And he looks more and more he doesn't look different. He just has it.
He's
he
studying
knows it.
More.
It's his. It's his.
You read about how the coaching staff, he has them load his laptop every Monday with four games from the upcoming opponent
so
he can study it. He's never done that before, but he's really turned it.
Yeah,
I think
I read
he's really
this quote where Deanna said they don't go out anymore.
Exactly. Well, I think he's really enjoying it. He's really enjoying he's listened to years and years of like Manning, such a student of the game, Brady, so smart, blah, blah, blah. And Favre's like, hey, I'm pretty smart. I can read a defense. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
And now he's showing it.
And he can.
And McCarthy's the first
and
coach to
did.
Give him that.
Well, he did that in the Super Bowl. The first touchdown in the
was
Super
his
Bowl
call.
Was
it was an audible. I love that. And they were in the wrong position. Freeman and Risen were switched. Love that.
He's called audibles his entire career.
But this is the first time.
It's
the first time he's been given complete control.
Yeah,
with,
he comes in
with
plays with
me,
and Mike McCarthy was like, no, I
gotta, but this one's good. We'll use this one. But at the line, they're using almost exclusively check with me, is where it's a run or a pass.
Yeah,
check with Brett, and he'll tell you what to do.
Yeah, and he can go to
he can go either one. And you saw it on the record breaking, the touchdown to Greg Jennings.
Yeah,
he
had to tap
the
Donald
defense,
Lee on the
and
butt.
He taps Donald Lee.
Donald
says,
Lee didn't
make sure
change.
You go over there, get out of the way for this great touchdown pass. Thank you very much. And speaking of Greg Jennings, here he is on the NFL Network being interviewed by Steve Mariucci about the record breaking play.
It was audible. Pretty much I had a little 5-yard in route on the backside along with Donald Lee, who was on the ball at tight end. And the clock was running down. Brett was trying to signal the call to Donald. I got the signal, and Donald, obviously him being on the ball, he couldn't hear or see Brett. So he ran over there to tell him.
Yeah.
And, it just was one of those things where it was a second window throw. They were in empty. And he hit me right on the right shoulder of the safety who was coming down to cover Donald Lee. And, big things happen when you're playing with number four. So that's what you saw.
Yes, they do.
Man,
big things.
I'm telling you, that music is either...
I'm doing air guitar right now.
It's either from Top Gun or it's from a porno film. I can't figure it out.
It's from every porno film.
I guess so. That was great. Anyway, thank you, Greg, for breaking down the play.
Let's talk about the Bears.
They still suck.
Yes, they do.
Oh, man,
I
want to
play
Bears.
That song. I think I'm going to play the song underneath us right now.
We really should.
Yeah.
The Bears still suck.
Yeah, they really do. Polka. I can't stand them.
How can you stand them? Yeah. I respect
it's
their tradition.
It's the oldest rivalry in football.
So you respect
Chalice,
them. I
love
the Papa Bear. I respect him, but I hate the Bears.
Yeah.
I hate the Bears.
Oh,
of course, I just hate the Vikings. There's no tradition there. But I respect the Bears, but I hate them.
Yeah, you can't respect a dome team.
Please.
Impossible.
Please.
Yeah, and you got the White Sox, and hard.
That's
Chicago,
ridiculous.
All that stuff.
I hear you,
like,
but I hate the Bears.
Yeah, they're terrible.
But they still suck. Hey,
there you go.
Looking good at 1-3.
Let's talk about their injuries.
They are injured. Their entire back line isn't. I mean, their entire secondary is out. I mean, it's ridiculous. Basher, Tillman, gone. I don't know. I haven't read if they're going to play this. I think we'll know more tomorrow if they're going to play this week. But I gotta tell you, they're just banged up.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
And quarterback controversy.
I know.
Man,
what a mess! I love it. I love national television against the Cowboys. All of Soldier Field is chanting for the Bears to bring in
Brian
Greasy.
Greasy.
I'm sorry, if you're chanting for Brian Greasy to come into the game to save you,
you got problems.
You got major,
trouble. The only thing worse than that is waking up and your quarterback's in jail and your new quarterback's Joey Harrington. You're like,
that
what?
Is true.
What?
I gotta say that. That is absolutely true.
Bears fans woke up and they were like, Brian Griese is our quarterback.
No, we're
half of
win.
Them were chanting and the other
oh
half were
my
like,
goodness.
Wait, this. Brian
and
Griese
I love,
is our quarterback.
He throws a touchdown to Musa Muhammad and his entire team like jumps on him and is like, he's their savior. And then he throws three picks and gives the game to the Lions. I love it.
Typical.
But I'm going to say this. If Tommy Harris plays in this game, it's a game and it'll go right down to the wire. But I think we'll win like 27-24 or something like that.
Wow.
I think they get two defensive scores or something atrocious will happen. However, if Tommy Harris doesn't play, because he destroyed our line last time. I mean, he just destroyed them. But if he doesn't play, we win in a walk.
Wow.
I'm calling it now. We win in a walk. Well, that's it for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed the latest attempt at Packer punditry here at Packer Transplants. Please tell your fellow Packer fans about us and visit us at cheeseheadtv.com.